dia, boa tarde. Welcome to another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. I'm your guest host, John Neves, back here again to talk about my favorite subject, your favorite subject, and that is, of course, Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, whatever word you use in your part of the world. Episode 109. Welcome back. A lot to talk to you about tonight. We just had a very busy week. We have another busy week coming up with round week 26. More European action next week, not to mention we've also got Fernando Santos announcing his squad selection for the playoffs against Turkey. So I'm going to start off kind of reviewing last week, reviewing the upcoming week, and second division report, my picks. Man, I continue to do well. Another week where I was, I got 3 out of 4 picks correct. And I'm looking forward to continuing that trend. A little bit later on in this episode, talk a little bit more about the European previews for next week with Benfica, Braga, and Porto. Talk a little bit as well about the Portugal-Turkey call-ups. Also want to talk a little bit about Pedro Neto. Tremendous work by Benfica fundraising for Ukraine. Bruno Fernandes paid Sporting a visit, so got a few comments about that in my Fast and Furious section. But let me start off, like I always do. Well, let me just start off first previewing, reviewing, actually, the past week. Last week, of course, week 25, round 25, I think the result that stood out the most was Porto going to Passos de Ferreira and winning. They're 4-2. A match that Conceição was happy with the offense, scoring 4 goals, but he was not happy that they gave up 2 goals. But Porto did nevertheless get the 3 points in a place making it, well, first of all, making it 53 matches in a row in Liga that they have not yet lost. Last time they lost, and why this match was of interest last week, was actually at Passos de Ferreira back in October 2020. But Porto pretty much keep it going, and they maintain their 6-point lead against Sporting as we head into this weekend. Another good match we saw was Gil Vicente, a 0-0 draw at home against Estoril, but very disappointing result for our friends in Barcelos. You know, second time this season that Gil Vicente went to a big three and walked away with a positive result, only to come home with a lot of momentum and draw. You know, they beat Benfica, came home the next week against Santa Clara, and played to, if I recall, a 1-1 draw. They, 2 weeks ago, go to Porto, went down a man in the second minute, but still managed to come away with the draw. And they came home again, opportunity to continue to build on their momentum. But again, they wind up playing at home to a 0-0 draw. And by the way, I remember Santa Clara, when they beat Sporting that following week, they came home and they drew. So it seems like a lot of times in the Liga B win, whenever one of these clubs beat the big three or take away points at their place, we seem to have these clubs that seem to have a bit of a letdown where they don't necessarily lose the week after, but just, you know, from what I've seen, at least seems like they have all these draws. Another good result was Vitória Guimarães against Famalicão. Vitória went down 1-0 early, came back to win on a day that included them basically voting for a new president, and they do have a new president, an entrepreneur. So it was a very good Sunday in Guimarães. With the fact that the fans have spoken, they have elected a new president, and they recorded a 2-1 win. Sporting last Saturday defeated Arouca at home 2-0, but the big story with that is that Varandas has won another mandate as president. A lot of mixed feelings with my Sporting fans that I know about. Some really like the guy. Some do not like it. They just think there's some things that are not being done right at Sporting, but everybody has their opinions, as of course you would when you're very passionate about something. But to me, Varandas, the club has won championships. I think they've won the last 4 trophies in Portugal. They qualified for the Champions League round of 16. They're most likely, and by the way, everything I've said is a fact, it's not an opinion, but opinion-wise, this summer they will probably be making a good amount of money, not only on PSG triggering Nuno Mendes' buyout clause, because they've got him on loan now for $7 million, But we'll also probably see, João Paulinha has been mentioned, Mateus Nunes, Gonçalo Inácio. They're not going to sell them all of them, but even just selling a few of them, they're going to make a lot of money. So Sporting is definitely a better team now than what it was 2-3 years ago, or actually maybe 4-5 years ago. They also, obviously, Sporting isn't just, of course, football, soccer. They have a bunch of other sports that they are incredibly successful in, such as futsal. Their basketball team is playing in Europe. So Sporting has done very well under Varandas, but again, he does have his naysayers. But Varandas, almost something like 86% of the vote on the day that Sporting beat Arouca, he walks away with the easy election win, and as a result, he'll be around for 4 more years. He's had a bit of a war of words with Burtus Pinto da Costa that I think is very interesting to see how that develops. But Sporting is definitely holding their own, and although they got a lot of work to do in the Liga, they've won, I think, like I said, something like 4 trophies in a row in Portugal. That is definitely right now at risk by the fact that they are 6 points behind Sporting. And a lot of credit to Sporting. They went to City, 0-0 draw, debuted a great youngster, Ribeiro, played very well. And they got they managed to walk away respectfully. Obviously, City, one of the best teams in, let's be honest, you do in the world. But I think Sporting handled themselves pretty well. But pretty much like what they did at the beginning of the Champions League group and what they did last year when they lost to that Austrian club, they do have these ugly first, leg results and then come back strong in the second leg. But the first leg is so ugly. But Sporting, very good week for Sporting, especially if you voted for Varandas. And I saw a lot of things on social media. For a lot of people that don't know about Sócios, basically you can become a member of a club. My understanding is every club has different rules, but you could also eventually vote in the elections. I think at one point, I think this was true of Benfica, you couldn't vote if you were outside of Portugal. And now as of, I don't know if it's the last decade, you could. But Portugal has this great system that allows fans to vote in presidential elections. I think the only club that does that in Major League Soccer, I believe, that votes for the president of the club, I believe that's Seattle Sounders. I think they have some owners, but the fans do get to vote for the president of the club. So that's a very interesting thing. So that was a big week for Sporting. We also saw this week Porto. And I'll talk a little bit more about this in the second half of the program. A tough 1-0 loss at home, but the tie is not over, like Conceição said. Braga with a great result at home, 2-0 defeating Gelson Martins and Mónaco. They still got to go to Mónaco for the second leg, but no doubt about it, just having the opportunity with the fact that they managed to pick up this very good first leg result is very good. But now they got to protect it next Thursday, when they go to the Principality of Monaco. But Braga with a very, very good result. We are under 2 weeks left until the big match, Portugal-Turkey. I've spoken to various people on Twitter, on the DMs. I was talking to the Twitugal account, very good account. If you're not, you should follow it. And a lot of people are very nervous. Every time I put something out about the national team, people get a little bit nervous. But a lot of nerves. And if you're getting nervous now, I can only imagine what it's going to be like leading up to the Turkey game. And I saw the Turkish team in the Europa League had a positive result against Barcelona. So Turkish football right now is feeling pretty good about themselves. And that's not something we want. We don't want the Turkish to feel good about anything when they've got to come to Porto in 2 weeks to play the Seleção. But we're under 2 weeks left for for the match, and then of course Fernando Santos next Thursday will be announcing it on the 17th at 12:30 from Cidade do Futebol. The press room auditorium will announce his selection for that match. Moving on to reviewing the upcoming week, obviously the Liga B win, and again no doubt that the best match this weekend, Braga Gil Vicente. These are the teams that are fourth versus fifth place. Braga haven't lost something like their last 10 matches. Gil Vicente hasn't lost something like in their last 10 matches. I read 10 on one website, and then I read 15 in another. I'm looking up that right now. Yeah, they haven't lost in 10 matches. And they're going to Braga, which, you know, again, has got to be very motivated by the result against Monaco. And that's without a doubt, in my opinion, the best match of this weekend. You've got Porto home to Tondela. That should be a good result for Porto. You've got Benfica kicking things off on Friday night, because next Tuesday they're going to be playing Ajax away in the Champions League, and they're going to be at home to Vizela. So another big club in Portugal playing one of the smaller clubs down at the bottom with Porto and Benfica. Sporting, again, also going to be playing a club toward the bottom. They'll be playing on Monday night, and they'll be making the trip up north to play Moreirense. Sporting, again, if you're going to bounce back in the Liga, the best way to do it, like they did last week when they won, and this week when they won, beating a team that you're supposed to, and that's going to be the big match on Monday for Sporting. Other matches we see Estoril at home to Portimonense. Can Estoril build on last week's 0-0 redraw in Barcelos? Portimonense last week losing 2-1 at home to Benfica, a match that was, of course, had several delays, particularly one of them with a bunch of flares that probably is going to result in some major fines. But Estoril will be hosting Portimonense. Famalicão will be hosting Santa Clara. Famalicão disappointed after putting together a few good results to lose last week at Guimarães. And they'll be hosting Santa Clara, which continues to put up good results week to week. Santa Clara right now in the middle of the pack. I think that's what they expected to be at the beginning of the season. And they've definitely improved after at one point being down in 17th place. So they're certainly doing a lot better. We got a Roca at home hosting Passos de Ferreira. Passos, of course, in the mid-table right with Santa Clara. Passos in the 11th place. You've got, of course, Roca kind of toward the bottom in 15th place. So that's a pretty good match. And then another match to look to is B-Sad, Belenenses Sad. They will be hosting Boa Vista. What's interesting about this match is that Petit, who managed for you know, the first part of the season, B-Sad, is now the manager of Boa Vista. So now he's going to go back to the Jamor, to a place where he spent some time managing this team. And I think that's going to be on Saturday. So basically things get going. Benfica kicking it off because they've got European action next week. Benfica at home to Vizela. Crowds have been really good in Portugal, particularly with the big three. Benfica, will they get another 40,000 on a Friday night? Again, you don't have to test to go to a game. And obviously a lot of people should be very motivated. And obviously everyone's also going to start paying attention to the match next Tuesday at Ajax. Verissimo came out in the press conference and said that he didn't want to think about Ajax yet. He just wants to think about Vizela. Said that their goal right now is second place, trying to catch up to Sporting, and then eventually they'll worry about first. But I don't see them even getting close to first place. But second place is a hope. You know, if Sporting continues to, you know, Sporting for such a long time was practically perfect, especially last year. You know, although they did drop some points toward the end of the season, this year they find themselves, you know, in a position where Benfica is only 4 points behind. So, but Verissimo made it clear that they're worrying about this match first, which, by the way, a lot of managers say. Conceição says it, Ruben Amorim says it. I think Conceição says it the most about, let's just worry about this next match. This next match, that's the most important match. And then afterwards, we'll have plenty of time to worry about Ajax. And I'll go into Benfica Ajax a little bit more in the second half of this episode. So Benfica Vizela kick it off on Friday. Saturday, busy Saturday. You've got four matches highlighted by Estoril, Portimonense, Famalicão, Santa Clara is a very good match. Roca, Passos de Ferreira, B-Sad against Boa Vista. And then on Sunday, you've got Marítimo, again, really solid team in seventh place. I don't think they're going to be able to catch up to Gil Vicente. They've got, Marítimo has 32 points. Gil Vicente has 42. I don't think they're going to catch up for top five. But certainly sixth place is a possibility. And Marítimo will be hosting Guimarães. So you essentially have a battle of the sixth and seventh place teams. Guimarães with 33 points, Marítimo with 32. So that is a very good match. Guimarães, again, what a very good result last week. Now they've got to travel to Funchal. They got to travel to Madeira and land in that very, very scary airport. Again, if you've never seen it, go on YouTube, Google the Madeira Airport, which is now, of course, the Cristiano Ronaldo Airport. But some of the landings that they do there. I'm actually just going to go to Madeira one day, not only because it's beautiful, but just to see what it's like to be on a plane that zigzags its way to the course if it's very windy. It's incredible stuff. But Marítimo will be hosting Guimarães. Then you've got Porto at home, to Tondela before they get ready to play Mónaco later on in the week. You've got, of course, like I said, the best match, Braga against Gil Vicente, two teams from the north. Those are also the two furthest north teams. They're playing on a Sunday night late at 20:30, and that should draw a big crowd, and that should be the marquee match for TV on Sunday night. And then, of course, on Monday, it all wraps up in with Moreirense hosting Sporting. So a very good week of football we had last week. We got another one on taps. Porto continuing to control in first place. You look at everything else. Bissad, Moreirense are the bottom two clubs. Tondela in 16th place with 21 points. Arouca in 15th place with 22. But the truth is between, when you look at it, between 11th place, Passos de Ferreira with 27 points, and you look at someone like Tondela in 16th place with 21 points, you're talking about 6 points. Basically a difference between 11th and 16th place. Bissad's in serious trouble. This is a club that has to, basically, they need points. And right now they are 4 points below. First off, they're in last place. 4 points below Moreirense and basically 5 points away from the playoff spot. They're 6 points away total. For being out of the relegation zone. So a lot of work to do with Bissad, and we'll see what happens. Moving on to the second division. The story of the second division is without a doubt Casapia. Casapia last week recording a very good win. They beat Mafra at home 3-1, and they benefited from basically some really bad losses. Feirense. From the Feira, lost at home to Leixões. That was a really bad loss. We also saw, when I look at the results here, where is Chaves? Oh, here it is. Chaves lost at Penafiel 2-1. I had that as, that was the only pick I got wrong last week. I had Chaves, but Chaves has been on a bit of a hot streak the last 6 weeks. We're finally cooled off. But very, very bad loss for them. Penafiel got the win. And then, of course, we also saw a very interesting result. FC Porto B, 3. Last place, Académica, 3. So their new manager that Académica just hired right off the bat gets them a point. But a lot of work to do for Académica. They are in last with 15 points. Varzim, which managed to get a very good result last week, winning at Benfica B, by the way. So the 17th place team in the league went to Benfica B, the third place, and they recorded a big win in Seychelles. But Varzim and Académica are pretty much in the relegation zone. Covilha is in 16th place in the playoff zone. But they're in trouble, these three teams, because 15th place Académico do Viseu has 27 points. So Académica right now, I think their only hope is to try to get the 16th place, of which they're only 5 points away, because to get out of this bottom three, they need to basically make up 12 points, and I just don't see that. I mean, we've only got, 8-9 matches left? So they got a lot of work to do. And again, I've talked about this. It's a shame. Académica, it's a pretty big-sized city, Coimbra, big stadium, and it's a shame that they're going to probably be dropping to the third division. But basically, Casapia leading the way up top over Rio Ave with 4 points. Casapia is a very interesting story. I was looking them up. Basically, they were founded in 1920. They're based in Lisbon. So if they get promoted, it would be another club in the first division next year in the Lisbon region. They're named after a Portuguese children's charity. And most of their athletes come from that institution. And they are just a tremendous story. They basically have been playing since the early 1920s. They basically had, they were playing with the national team very early on in 1921. But Casapia is one of those small clubs that will work their way up and possibly go to the first division, be very competitive, and then drop down, and you never hear about them again. But Casapia is doing some really very good things. And based on my research, the last time that they were in the first division was in 1938, 1939. But the dream is to come back for a second time, and they obviously have an opportunity. And Casapia, again, with a four-point lead over Rio Ave. Rio Ave with 48 points. Benfica B with 47. Chaves and Feirense from the Feira with 44. And then Nacional, I don't know if Nacional is going to be able to catch up the top five, but nevertheless, they have 38 points. So right now you've got essentially Casapia, Rio Ave, Chaves, and Feirense battling to get into the top three. Obviously, top two gets you promoted. Third place gets you the playoff with the 16th place first division team. But that's the battle in terms of promotion. But with Benfica B, you essentially have right now, I'm still going to include Nacional. You have six teams still battling for the second division title. But Casapia took a big step this weekend in basically with the four-point lead. I think that's the biggest lead in like 3 months in the second division. And they are doing some really, really very, very good things. Looking ahead to this weekend, week 26 of the second division, the match that sticks out, Chaves, Casapia. You're talking essentially the fourth place team taking on the first place team. Chaves will be at home in the beautiful Trás do Monte. That's going to be a very good match, and that match is going to be on Sunday. That's going to be on Sport TV Plus, and for those in Portugal. But no doubt, Chaves. Chaves Casapia, definitely the best match of the weekend. Other matches, you got last place Académica hosting Benfica B. Benfica B last week lost to the seventh place team at home. Now they're going to be playing the eighth place team. So if you're Benfica B, you got to be very careful. I could assure you that the manager of Benfica B is going to be putting the focus to the kids this week to try to avoid dropping points against another team in the relegation zone. You got another good match. Rio Ave in second place will be hosting Penafiel. Penafiel right now sitting in eighth place. But again, Penafiel with a very good home win last week against Chaves. So that's a very good match, Rio Ave. Benfial, FC Porto B will be going down to Algarve to play Feirense. And then you've got Mafra will be playing at home to Nacional. And everything kind of wraps up. So basically action, two matches on Friday. So Benfica's first team and Benfica's B team are both playing on Friday. And then, of course, you've got action, two matches on Saturday, four matches on Sunday, and then everything wraps up on Monday with Leixões at home to Vila Franquense. My picks, I got to tell you, I'm really very proud of, for something like the sixth or seventh time in these last 7 or 8 weeks, I have 3-1. Last week, I predicted 3, only lost 1. I am now up to 61 correct, 41 incorrect. That puts me over 60%, which isn't too bad. You remember I kept saying that I wanted to be 70% right for the whole season. I probably should have just said my goal is to be 75% right each week, because being 75% right is very difficult. But you know what? It's not bad. 60% last week, when I look at my picks, I predicted that Sporting would beat Arouca. They did on the day that Varandas was elected. I predicted Benfica will go down to Portimão to beat Portimonense, and that's exactly what Benfica did. I predicted Santa Clara would beat Vizela, and a great result by Santa Clara. They did. The only one I got wrong, and I think I predicted it to be a draw, but I had Penafiel Chaves and Penafiel, because I predicted the draw. Penafiel though won, so I lost in that one. So 3-1 last week, not too bad. This week, I'm still trying to go a perfect 4-0, which I have yet to do this year. I'm predicting Porto would beat Tunela. I don't think that should be too difficult. I'm predicting that Benfica will not be looking ahead to Ajax. And I predict that Benfica will beat Vizela 3-0. I'm really, really intrigued by this Braga-Gil Vicente match, but I'm going to go with the draw. I just think if you had to tell me who I think was going to win, I'm probably going to say Braga. I think Braga is they've been up and down, but that's not how if you were to tell me I had to make a prediction, I'd say Braga's going to win. But what do I really think is going to happen? I really kind of see is going to be a draw. I'm going to go and predict 1-1 draw Braga-Gil Vicente. I think Gil Vicente will score first. I think Braga will level. And then I think I'm going to predict Vitinha will score the goal for Braga, but I'm going to predict them when they 1-1 draw. And then in the second division, I got to pick the best match, and that's, of course, going to be the Chaves-Gazabia match. And I'm going to predict also a draw in that match, 1-1 with Chaves and Gazabia. So some really good football this weekend. Again, I'm predicting Porto would beat Tondela. I'm predicting Benfica will beat Vizela. I'm predicting that Braga-Gil Vicente will finish in a 1-1 draw. And then I'm going to wrap it up by saying that Chaves-Gazabia, the marquee match of the second division, I will predict that that will finish in a draw. Part two of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. This is my Fast and Furious section where I want to really just kind of give my opinions and give my preview about some of the things that are going to be coming up this week. First off, we got to start off with Benfica Ajax. 2-2 first leg result in the Luge. This is a very good result. My thing with this match, I could sit here and talk strategy, formations. I could sit here and talk about who I think is going to be the biggest player to score. But generally, and I think a lot of people like this, to me, I think it's about how you play the match, not necessarily who you field. That's very important. But I think for me, what Benfica needs to do is, first off, Ajax scores a lot of goals. And Benfica this year, because they've been a bit of a disappointment in the Liga, have shown that when they have played some big matches like we saw against Porto, like we saw against Sporting, this is a team, for me, Benfica, that when they go to Amsterdam, they have to be first and foremost defensive, because this is the type of team. It seems like every time a Portuguese team plays Ajax, I'm not saying this happens all the time, but it's just the impression I get. Ajax always scores an early goal, and that unsettles you. And remember, there's no away goals. So, going there and hoping for a 1-1 draw or a 0-0 draw isn't going to do you any good. So, can Benfica get into a high-scoring win with a club like Ajax, who's going to be playing in front of a full crowd? We know there's about 3,000 Benfica fans based on, their allotment of tickets that sold out that are going to be in very lovely Amsterdam, never been there. But I think for me, I guess, what I want to say is they need to be a bit more defensive this match. I just don't think Benfica, and watch, I'll probably be wrong, but I don't think I will be. I don't think they're going to go into this match and win 3-2. I just don't know if this is the type of match where they could win it 1-0 with how much firepower and how much scoring Ajax have. I don't think they can go there and win 2-1. I think if they're going to win this match, the only way they're going to do it, but I just don't know if Benfica could do it, they've got to win a high-scoring match. There's no way that Ajax is not going to score a goal. And Benfica was going to have a hard time scoring a goal. So I think if you're Verissimo, and by the way, if you're Verissimo and you want to stake your claim to this job, you do it by seeing if Benfica advances. Because if they do, they're going to make a lot more money in the Champions League. Practically pays your salary for the next 10 years. And it would just be a big way to help your cause if you want to continue to be manager, especially after reports this week with Abel Ferreira being mentioned in the mix for the, reports in Brazil said that Abel Ferreira might be in the mix for the Benfica job. And by the way, I wouldn't be surprised if he was. Don't think that by some chance that that's just a dumb rumor or just a dumb story. Everything he's done in Brazil would warrant him to, Benfica would be smart to be looking at him. But I just don't think for me that Benfica is going to be able to go there and win 1-0. They're going to have to score a lot of goals. But in order to win and score a lot of goals in a high-scoring match, they've got to really do everything they can to limit Ajax to not scoring a lot of goals, I guess is the point that I'm trying to make. I just don't I don't see Benfica winning 1-0 or 2-1. I just think it's going to be a very high-scoring match, and Ajax worries me. They're the type of team that could be up on Benfica 2-0 after 15 minutes. And that's the thing that I think Benfica has to be, you know, very worried about. And, you know, you look at Benfica, Rafa has kind of disappeared. Say whatever Verissimo says about him at the press conference. He's just not been the same player. It happens sometimes. We saw that with Pizzi and JJ. Sometimes when the new manager comes in, there's just a player that tends to disappear. It seems like Rafa, you know, is sort of disappearing with Verissimo. You know, Yaremchuk, for everything that's been going on, could continue to make a good story for the Ukrainians if he could do something. I know he's got the flu, last I heard. You know, can he turn it around? Gonçalo Ramos, what a story it would be if he could score some goals in Amsterdam, but he's too young. I don't know if he's ready for this spotlight. Darwin, you want to be sold for $50 million? This is your chance now. You want to be the type of player that will probably be sold this summer to one of the big clubs in Europe, like a lot of people anticipate he will be. This is your chance right now. This is your opportunity. I mean, if there's ever a game that is very important for Darwin, it's this match, because Benfica need goals. I just think if they're going to have to win a high-scoring match, and they're going to have to do everything they can to keep the Ajax out of the net. And that's just kind of like my opinion. Porto, a lot of my cousins, I always talk about it on WhatsApp when I communicate with all my cousins. There's so many of them in France, and they all love Porto, and they were outraged. They were complaining about the VAR like if it was a Portuguese Liga match. But now we're talking about UEFA. I'm not going to get into that. But look, I said it last week, if you heard last week's episode, Porto in the second leg has always done very well. Even though they're down one goal, absolutely Porto could win this tie. There's no doubt about it. They got to score early. You know, they got to set the tone early, because once that they set that tone early with the goal early, then the match is anybody to win. But, you know, to me, the only thing that worries me, because I've seen this so much in Portuguese football, is, you know, they may score a goal to level, you know, in the 75th minute, and then the home team somehow manages to score a goal in the last 10 minutes of the game to win 2-1. I've seen it so many times, more so 10, 15 years ago when Portuguese clubs would go to Europe. You know, it just seems like they always gave up a bad goal in the last 10 minutes of a match, and I kind of worried about that here. But I do think, in my opinion, that Porto is a much better team than Lyon. They had their chances. It just didn't happen for them. But they've got to go there, and they've got to score early to set the tone. And if there is a match where I think Porto could come out on top, and they could score three goals here. I mean, Porto has that Tereme of the Nielsen. There's no doubt about it with the experience that Porto has in the midfield. Vitinha has been fantastic. I have no doubt that Porto could go there and get the win and advance. Because in my opinion, of all the teams that are left in Europe, I think we have our best chance if you're Portuguese with Porto in the Europa League. So I think it's a wide-open tie. Conceição admitted it. He said it's only halfway through, which is, of course, what the manager is supposed to say at a press conference. But I have no doubt about it that they have a very good shot. Braga, awesome result at home against Monaco. Basically, what needs to happen with Braga is they need to definitely be defensive. I think if Braga gets one goal and taps down on the defense, I think they're going to be fine and they're going to advance. But, and I don't know much about Monaco. I'm not going to sit here and act like an expert. I'm not going to sit here on a podcast, act like I know what I'm talking about. I'm just not going to do that. I don't know much about them. I know they have Gelson Martins. I just know they're playing in that stadium. And that Braga, to me, with a good defensive performance, and if they score a goal there, that should be more than enough to get them, you know, to get them through. And I think this is a very good opportunity for Braga. Last time, in the last leg against Sheriff, you know, they suffered that 2-0 loss in the first leg away. They came home and they turned the result around to advance. You don't want this to happen to them again, to them, where now the tables turn on them and they wind up losing the second leg. I think they just need to go very strong defensively and don't give up a goal early. And then they need to score a goal that puts them up with three, and that'll make the process a lot more comfortable. And again, the away goal rule changes a lot of things. You know, again, in Benfica's case, the away goal rule would have benefited them, you know, if they had gone to Ajax. You know, if they had drawn in Ajax, you know, that would have really benefited Benfica with the away goals if they could, you know, do a draw. But in my opinion, there is no away goals in the Benfica game. But with Braga, I think they just, you know, defense, score a goal, and that should be enough to take them. If they wind up giving up three or more goals, which they're going to have to force, you know, that's what Monaco's going to have to do. Monaco's going to have to score three goals, thus the emphasis on defense. I like Braga's chances. I don't want to be too overconfident, but I really like Braga's chances to go to the quarterfinals. And by the way, Braga may be the fifth biggest club in Portugal in terms of size, because Guimarães is the fourth biggest club. But Braga has a very good history in European competition. Obviously, they've been to a Europa final where they lost to Porto. It would be nice to see Braga make it to the quarterfinals. I think it would be a tremendous success story for Carlos Carvalhal. It would continue to show the young players that Braga has, even losing Galeno to Porto, that they could still advance to the round of eight. So this would be a really good, feel-good story for Braga. So I think, look, all three Portuguese teams next week have opportunity here. I don't think anyone should walk away thinking we don't have a chance. All great opportunity. I think if you were to tell me who has the best chance, I would say Braga. If you ask me who I think has the, you know, could be the strongest team and is going to really show their talent, I think it's Porto. Benfica, I'm the one of the three that I'm a little bit worried about because of the firepower of their opponent. Let's not forget Ajax scored two goals in the Luge. But Benfica could still do it. I still think they could pull it off. The players have to step up. This can't just all be on Verissimo. So I think that that's a pretty good result. Well, let's hope we get a good result. Let me put it to you that way. I apologize sometimes if I talk too fast and I mix up my words, but I think you guys know what I'm talking about. Next Thursday morning, Cidade do Futebol, Fernando Santos will be announcing his squad selection. Obviously, we know João Cancelo and Renato Sanches won't be eligible for the match against Turkey, but obviously they will be called into camp. Obviously, we have injuries to Ruben Dias. Nelson Semedo has an injury, so be curious to see who's going to get the call up. Will we see João Mário of Porto get an opportunity to be called? Are we going to see Porto's Otávio? Are we going to see, you know, what new faces are we going to see? The thing about it is, people love, you know, in media and podcasts, people love to talk about who could be called and who should be called to help the team. But we all know with Fernando Santos that it doesn't matter if they call up somebody for the first time or they call up somebody having a good game, because at the end of the day, everybody knows the 11 that needs to play. And I think you've got to have Cristiano, Bruno Fernandes, Bernardo Silva. You know who should be starting. The question for Fernando Santos with this selection is he communicating with the players? You know, I can't imagine he hasn't been talking to them these last 2 to 3 months. But is Fernando Santos done his job and make sure that these guys understand their focus? I mean, it would be, and look, it's not easy for me to say this because so many people are nervous, and I don't want to make you more nervous. But it would be obviously a humongous disappointment if we can't get through this and be playing next winter in Qatar. And I think what needs to happen is I know people are going to talk about Fernando Santos. Don't get me wrong. I understand the criticism. But I also believe that for the 90 minutes that the players on the pitch, considering all these players, what they've done with their clubs at some of the biggest clubs in Europe, I don't think we should be sitting here with the talent we have. There's no reason. With the talent we have, we should be beating Turkey, with all due respect to my Turkish friends, 3-0. I'm sorry. With the talent on the pitch, I don't think anyone could argue. I'm not being disrespectful, but there's, you know. But for some reason, something hasn't been working lately with Fernando Santos, and that needs to be fixed. And again, we could sit here and talk about what new faces will be called up. I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's going to change anything. But in my opinion, we all know who's going to play. Now, as goalkeeper, tremendous comments. Thank you, Jorcino. I had a kid named Derek that emailed me. Everybody giving their opinions. Actually, I apologize. That one was about Pizzi last week. But I've had various people contact me. You know, when I asked the question of who should start last week, should it be José Sá, who's having a great form with Wolves, or should we go with Patricio? And I will tell you that a guy like Fernando Santos is going to go with who's he most comfortable with, and I'm afraid to say it's going to be Rui Patricio. If you put Sa in one of the biggest national team games in 20 years, you better hope he's going to step up. I think he's done a great job. I think he deserves a chance. But to be honest with you folks, I think Sa, if he gets called up, and I think he will, I would have liked to have seen him play the Qatar matches just to get some Portugal experience. But I think we're going to be seeing Rui Patricio. So I posed that question, and there was a fair amount of people that wanted Sa. But I don't think anything is going to change. I think we're going to see Rui Patricio as a goalkeeper. But since we all know who he's going to call, who do you think he's going to call? What new face or faces will he call up? Are we going to have any surprises? I don't think so. You're going to see Andre Silva. You're going to see Goncalo Guedes. You know, you're going to see Jota. You know, Pep, interesting situation, but I think he should be more than fine by the time we get to here in 2 weeks. Pep is such a warrior with that, you know, that collision that he had against Lyon. I think he should be fine. And by the way, Pep is such a player that is so strong-willed that you know this guy is going to be ready for Turkey in 2 weeks. And the thing is can't some of that strong will get passed along to some of the players that play up front of him? Because that's really what we need. You know, that's really what we need in 2 weeks. And we got plenty of time to talk about the national team next week. But right now, in my opinion, we really, really need the players to step up. And there are people that get angry at me that they think it's Fernando Santos. And I understand. But at the end of the day, these players have the creativity. They have the ability to score two or three goals regardless of whatever Santos' system is. I'm sorry, whoever he puts out in the oven. Again, that's my opinion. Again, that's why it's a podcast. That's why I give you my opinion. That's what I think. But I will be very curious to see if there'll be any new faces. I don't think there'll be very many, but I'm curious to see if João Mário gets called up. That's the one name that pops out at me. But we'll have to see what's going to happen. Ruben Dias, again, is such a very, very, very big loss. PZ last week, I had asked some people about their opinion, what they thought if PZ was right or was, you know, the media reports that PZ was involved with getting or his criticism was involved to get rid of JJ. Kind of 50-50 based on some of the feedback I got with the DMs and other places on Instagram and everything. But in my opinion, I don't know who's telling the truth. You know, this is like the segment I usually have of who's telling the truth. But I don't know. To me, PZ, he does a big two. I think the interview with Record was like 2 hours long, the actual video, if I read correctly. I don't know, man. I just, I don't know. I still think Benfica should not have gotten rid of JJ. But I don't know. If you're asking me, do I think that maybe PZ greased it up for him to leave? I will say, in my opinion, yes, that I think he did. Did I think he did it in a way that it would have been taken so seriously they would have gotten rid of him? Yeah, I don't know if he thought of it that way. But I think for me it was a mistake to let JJ go. But hey, you beat Ajax. Everybody forgets about JJ. And everybody's going to be more excited about Verissimo. So we'll see what happens. Congratulations to Pedro Neto, a Portuguese player at Wolves. He signed an extension until 2027. So another Portuguese player going to be spending more time in the Premier League. Diego Jota, Liverpool, is back. He was playing last week, so that's very good news. You know, other news to talk about in Portugal, well, let's be honest with you. By the time you hear this and by the time we get into next week, only two things people are going to care about. One, the European competition games next week. Two, the call-up. And then, boom, everyone's going to start to get really nervous when the players start to report the following week after for the national team. And by the way, if you are nervous, if you're losing sleep over it, here's what I say. If these players don't understand what's at stake, I don't know what else to say. But again, I got plenty more. But obviously, I'm putting a lot of pressure on the players because at the end of the day, I just think we have too much talent. And regardless of the manager, this shouldn't be happening. But again, that's just my opinion. I'm sure many of you don't agree with it. And I'm not trying to badmouth anybody, but when you have but next Thursday, when Fernando Santos announces his squad selection and everybody, oh, look at that squad, you know, like, wow, look at that. You know, I mean, I'm sorry. When you get that reaction from your average fan that doesn't follow Portuguese football week to week and sees a Bruno Fernandes, Cristiano Ronaldo, you know, Bernardo Silva, I mean, come on. We should be doing a lot better. And I'm sorry. That's just, you know, if a lot of these players worked for a company and they were getting paid for a lot of money and they were expected to produce big sales at their job, let me tell you, man, those guys would all be under a lot of pressure. So I think we need to keep the focus on, Fernando Santos, but the players got to step it up as well. We're going to wrap it up here like I always do with my club, Athletico dos Arcos. Well, first of all, I gotta apologize to some of you. Last week, I said that Athletico dos Arcos was going to be playing Anco de Praia, and I have to apologize. I misread the schedule. So last week, in the Viana do Castelo region, it was the cup, the quarterfinals of the cup, and unfortunately, Athletico dos Arcos was eliminated early in the cup. So last week, they basically played Cerveira because they had to play a makeup match because Athletico dos Arcos didn't play one weekend because of COVID issues. So they decided to make up that match last weekend. So they did play. They did win 3-1. So as a result, right now they are leading the division, the promotion division in Viana do Castelo with 24 points. Valenciano still has 21. Remember last week, Athletico dos Arcos had one last match. They played that one last match, so now they are up ahead. So Arcos do Valdez with a 3-point lead. The second place gets you a spot, by the way, in the Taça de Portugal if you don't get promoted. And right now, Athletico dos Arcos, just in terms of finishing top two, has a 5-point cushion over Monção, who still has one more match to play. Monção is the team that eliminated them from the regional Taça de Portugal competition. So this weekend, there are no matches. I don't understand it. I have to be honest with you. I went looking. I'm not sure if it's just a break in the schedule. Unfortunately, I had someone reach out to me, Pereira, about jerseys, but I haven't gotten an answer yet. But, I don't know how much of a big front office structure they have, but I don't think it's very big. And they still don't broadcast games on YouTube, which I'm going to keep saying every week until they do it. Anyway, I'm really happy that they're in first place. They are off this weekend. Next weekend, they resume competition in the Liga for their division, and they're going to be playing away to Ancora Praia. Beautiful place, Praia. It's a lovely beach. Used to go there all the time when I was a kid. My grandmother, she used to love it all the time when we used to take her there. But Athletico dos Arcos, I'm proud to say this week, though, are in first place. Folks, this has been another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to all or some of this episode. Big week ahead. Always looking forward to it. I'll be back next week to talk a little bit more about it and everything else going on in the world of Portuguese football, Portuguese soccer. Again, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcast, Anchor FM, the TuneIn app, Podcast Breaker. It's on a whole bunch of platforms. So I encourage you to give it a listen. If this is your first time listening, please subscribe. And thank you for all your reviews. And again, I'm not just saying this, I really mean it. Thank you. Whenever I do this, I think about the people who have always given me comments. You're the people that I'm thinking about when I'm doing this podcast, to kind of giving you my thoughts. And I appreciate you listening every week. But anyway, folks, I'm going to wrap it up here. And this has been episode 109. Ciao, everybody. I'll talk to you next time.